AV Nation is brought to you by Atlona, the go-to provider for AV signal distribution and control in corporate, higher education, and residential spaces. Learn more at atlona.com.
It is amazing that of all of the technical problems that we solve on like a day-to-day basis, it is the simple things like a mic being put in the wrong room that can just...
Just explain to me what you were trying to do when this happened.
Well, I was in Barbados hanging a picture on the wall.
Okay, that tells me everything I need to know.
On this episode, we discuss manufacturer relationships, wireless mics, and ISE coverage. All that and more on EdTech. EdTech episode 116, Bandwidth Overload. Hello, AV friends, and welcome to another episode of EdTech. As always, we have our panel of awesome higher ed AV professionals, Ernie Bailey. Hey, Ernie.
Hey, Erin. How are you doing today?
As good as one can be today.
Wonderful.
And we have with us Rob Raspberry.
Hey, Erin. Always glad to be here.
Excellent. And Scott Tyner.
Hi, everyone. Always great to be here again.
And today's special guest joining us for this episode is Josh Kaufman. Welcome, Josh.
Thanks, Erin. Glad to be here.
And so even though you're between gigs at the moment, tell everyone what you're looking for and where your expertise lies. And maybe somebody who's listening might know something that's just right for you.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. So I've worked in the field for about over a decade now. I've been since I graduated college, actually. My expertise lies in a lot of those gray areas that are either at the periphery, right at the leading edge of the field, or trying to look at new ways to implement technology or new ways to implement existing technology. They also lie within accessibility and instructional design, as well as universal design for learning and adapting audiovisual to improve accessibility without having to go through the usual rigmarole of the ADA accommodations process.
That is such an important part of the AV field, but yet seems to get kind of the last minute look or last considerations.
Yeah, it is. And it's unfortunate because it is something that from a university liability perspective is so critical, because if we aren't doing that, maybe our department doesn't get hit by it, but the university is liable if they're not meeting that. And it looks bad. And especially now in the social media era and the era when everything is available, those reviews are out there. That stuff is on Reddit. It's on your admissions forums. So people are watching.
Well, let's jump into the stories that we read for this episode. From mytechdecisions.com, ViewSonic and Crestron team up for enhanced AV device management. So they're combining forces to offer enhanced device management and remote control of displays to meet the modern work needs. So isn't it great when manufacturers play nice together? So what is the importance of this type of relationship for the higher ed needs?
I guess the whole idea of partnerships with major manufacturers, may help leverage bundling of technologies and building out classrooms and learning spaces. I mean, you see these kind of partnerships with different kinds of things. Crestron seems to be partnering with everybody, One Beyond, and all, different manufacturers. But to be able to come together and create sort of a device management partnership with a major display company and a major control systems is you would think that it would be helpful, not only with pricing, but bundling and everything like that.
Yeah, I agree. But at the same time, I don't like buying those bundled packages. We have, we like seeing the interaction between the manufacturers, see devices that work well together. APIs can talk to each other, if you will, and just give us a seamless connection. But I may already have a different display system or a different control system, but if I've got 40 of one one brand. I don't want to bring in a new one just because it's bundled in with something. Because, you know, we have our own basically framework for controlling systems and configuring devices together. But once again, it does, as they do talk together, if, you know, well, like Rob was saying, you know, Crestron seems to partner with everybody, which is helpful because, you know, we look, you know, we do use a lot of Crestron. So we do look for the Crestron Inside option for any displays that we're working with. It just makes it easier to communicate with and swap out devices if we do have to.
There's another aspect that plays in here too, is if we're talking about, you know, the management infrastructure, that it comes back not necessarily the technical management, but to the personnel management, because now you're not having to devote somebody running out to check something necessarily. And the more things you can have on that system that you can remotely vet and that you can reduce downtime for the amount of time you're messing around in front of the class, because you've already started remote diagnosis and maybe somebody in your office is doing well, you've got somebody on their way. And then additionally, I'm a New Englander. You know, it's cold, it's wet, it's icy. It's not great for rushing around a college campus. And there are times when it would definitely be very helpful to be able to do that diagnosis and look at, hey, this is something that's much more simple, or this is something I need to bring specific things that I have to locate and bring with me to fix.
I have to mention, Josh says he's from New England, that, I mean, we're both BU grads, so go Terriers. They're going to win the national championship in hockey this year. But the features that, you know, everybody says the features here are really cool. It's really great to do that remote control and remote management. There's no doubt. I'm okay with these features, but one of the things I always am concerned about is this idea of just tying yourself more and more into that walled garden. And if we didn't learn anything over the past few years about being tied into one manufacturer and have all your eggs in one basket, This is a little different, right? Because this is an optional thing. It looks like they're doing. You can manage an event space with just this particular set of equipment. But I do think it's good. I think it's valuable. But it also just makes me worry a little bit about that piece of putting all your eggs in one basket.
Definitely, I agree with you, Scott. So, like, and correct me if I'm wrong. What is it? Eulogy or Utelogy has that sort of management system that pretty much, you know, can manage a bunch of different devices. You know, obviously I don't think it handles deep down into this presentation mode that they're talking about with the ViewSonic and Crestron, but you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, you don't want to be, you know, forced in down that road where this is what you have to buy. You're right. But this is pretty cool.
Yeah. I think for maybe a smaller campus or a school that, you know, maybe they don't necessarily have a lot of the other tools at their disposal, this is a nice little solution. But yeah, there is kind of a fear when you start bundling things together. Then if that's not going to serve all of the spaces, then it's, you know, it's not as helpful of an ability to have.
That is, of course, a big issue for us in higher ed because we have so many spaces. But I think you're right, Aaron, to say maybe for a smaller campus or for a specific building, like a new install and then slowly start rolling it out or something of that nature.
The next.
Hello, this is Steve Greenblatt, host of AV Nation's State of Control podcast. Each month, Rich Fregosa and I explore trending topics, foundational subject matter related to control programming and automation in the audiovisual industry. We speak with a variety of AV professionals who share their perspective, knowledge, and experiences. Please join us for this monthly conversation. Check out A State of Control on avnation.tv or wherever you get your podcasts.
Story we read. Shure supports FCC order on expanding opportunities for wireless microphone users. So essentially, there's a bit of an impact for, you know, this FTC ruling potentially for campus wireless systems. It's kind of funny because actually before we're recording this, I actually just had a conversation with my event manager, and we were talking about what we're going to do after two new buildings are going to be coming online, both of which are going to have extensive wireless microphone systems in them, and how we're going to work with the channels and making sure that there's no crossover. And we had had an incident recently, not as much with the microphone systems that are already installed in rooms. It's the ones that we then temporarily bring to other spaces that are causing some problems. So we're like, okay, if we get, put in the rooms, what mics that are specific to their channels and bands, and then get for our portable setups, get ones that are a little more flexible and easier to find a space without interference, is going to probably be our next move, since we're getting to be a little flooded here. And I didn't really think that was going to be a problem, but, it's good to know that there's, that Shure's thinking about this sort of issue.
Absolutely. Because, and from an accessibility standpoint alone, having that ability to put in more sound amplification in any space is always a good thing. And the ability to put in an assistive listening system or translation system or whatever, and not lock the instructor down to the podium and be able to have it be able to be heard. But on top of that, this was a huge financial hit for a lot of schools. And I know my last institution, we kind of missed the window on a lot of the trade-in because of 2020. And so then we were stuck with a lot of gear we could no longer deploy and having to buy at full cost. And it was a huge thing. And I remember they were talking about, we might just have to go back to wired mics because we don't have that bandwidth.
Yeah, this was sort of interesting because I didn't understand a lot of the implications of this, and sort of, better using the bandwidth, expansive use of, or better use management of channels. Sounds like there's some savings in power consumption, being able to do bi-directional, where instead of having the transmitter and receiver, the devices can now act as both, which sort of doubles the functionality and of what you're able to do with the microphones and also the channel as well.
This whole topic is a little blurry to me, but I will say that I do wonder if it's becoming more and more of an issue, because as Josh talked about, in 2020, we started putting mics in more and more rooms, and it's amazing even now. It's great, and it's amazing, though, how many people are asking for microphones in classrooms that 4 years ago they never would have asked for a microphone in. And I think it's great for any accessibility issue, just for general hearing. So I think, as you're saying, Aaron, it's just becoming a very crowded space.
Right. Yeah. And it's definitely going to, I think, the more that the FCC is involved and helps kind of open up some of that, I think it will certainly allow us to be more flexible with, putting in microphones in spaces that normally, yeah, we would not have even bothered. But there's an increasing need for it. And maybe it's not necessarily that there's an increasing need for it, but it's more that it's more visible as an option. Whereas before, people would just kind of maybe suffer through not really being able to hear very well, or they'd purposely sit close to an instructor. Whereas, now we got to be, got to keep everything open to all those possibilities.
There's actually something else too that we're forgetting here, which is that with the rise of more hybrid and remote programs, especially hybrid, you have the instructors there talking that has to get their voice into that hybrid, or even just if we're using lecture capture, that system somehow. And just, yes, great. Beamforming mics are nice. All this other stuff is nice. We had a classroom where that was not an option because it was alongside an active railroad track. And so no matter what we did, we would constantly be picking up that railroad track. And actually, the railroad traffic increased because they added a light rail in the middle of it. So it actually was not a space where we could put something except a mic. And we even had looked at, for our medical school, because we had the same problem, can we do like 2.4 gigahertz, 5 gigahertz systems? No, because medical telemetry was sent on that. And so we're we can't see it, but we're bathed in way more bandwidth now than we were 10 years ago, than we were 20 years ago. And it's getting eaten up because it's being used by literally everything.
Yeah, and like Josh was saying, we're seeing a lot more wireless mics going into classrooms that we would normally say don't need it, simply because the instructor wants to be mobile. And, you know, I have a directive that every room has to be conferencing capable. You know, we have to be able to go hybrid from any classroom mm-hmm. space that we build out or modify. So that means at least one microphone in every space. And, you know, with the newer systems, generally they're designed for 2 to 4 with their little access points. And yeah, it's going to get real busy real fast. We're starting to see that. You know, we've always run into the issue of maybe it's not not enough frequencies, but you have matching microphones in classrooms up and down the hallway. An instructor walks out, gets halfway down the hall, realizes he has a microphone, and he walks into the first room he comes to and puts the microphone in there, which means the next hour I've got a professor lecturing to the wrong students.
Yeah, it is amazing that of all of the technical problems that we solve on like a day-to-day basis, it is the simple things like a mic being put in the wrong room that can just
yeah. And it's strong enough to reach things. You know, to reach the receiver in the other room. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Right, yeah. And I mean, and that's a tough part too, like making sure that each of those areas is contained so that you're not getting bleed over from system to system or interference from one to the other.
Absolutely.
And also there, you know, it's great that there's all of these ceiling microphones that, you know, have been developed and are great for rooms that you can put things in a ceiling or drop from a ceiling. But there are definitely those situations that you're going to have to go with some kind of wireless transmitter solution because they're, you know, the ceiling's either way too high or just architecturally it doesn't fit the aesthetic.
I was going to say, one of my former schools, we couldn't do that because it was such an old school that, first of all, there were, you know, 18-foot ceilings because of the old days smoke. But second of all, the buildings were historic. So we couldn't go in and cut them open because there was no drop ceiling to put in a tile mic. And we couldn't go putting it in because it was a plaster ceiling. And so there was no real option to do that at all. And we had rack after rack after rack of portable equipment for these specific use cases.
So the last section of today's conversation is basically about Rave Pub's ISE coverage. So, you know, a lot of different outlets covered ISE, obviously. But what did you guys see on, you know, the on the interwebs and whatnot and on Rave Pubs that came out of ISE that could be a good fit for higher ed?
The first thing that happened is I got overwhelmed when I saw the amount of videos that Rave Pubs put out. It's like, you know, you get the pages and I look, it goes at the 460 pages. And on each page, there's multiple videos. And I have to say, it's sort of cool to see the smartphone, like camera handheld that they're using, which is pretty cool. So it was sort of tough for me to like, I'm going, what do I select? So the one thing, and I apologize for not knowing the manufacturer, but I saw the HDMI to USB-C switcher, which I thought was somewhat interesting, you know, because things are moving obviously more toward USB-C. And so having a switcher that has those two primary connections integrated into it, I thought was cool, was very good.
I've been thinking for a while now about trade shows, and I often just watch them and I'm like, okay, more stuff on top of the same old stuff. there's very few things that I ever see coming out of an AV trade show that I'm like, wow, holy smokes, that changes stuff, right? So, but that also ties into what Rob just said, which is the press is just overwhelming. And so as we were talking just a minute ago, I remember that one of the things I saw somewhere in social media was a microphone system that to solve Ernie and Aaron's exact problem, where you walk in, you plug the microphone system into a bass, you press a button, and that microphone syncs with that bass. And I was like, I have no idea what the company was. I have no idea what the name of the product was. So I think it's actually a Shure Next 2 might be what it is. But the press is so overwhelming, the stuff is so overwhelming that did I see some things that were kind of neat and kind of cool? Yeah, but was there anything that was like, oh man, that's crazy? No.
And it's kind of funny that the press looks overwhelming, because I definitely felt I was fortunate enough to be there, and it was kind of overwhelming. Just amount of stuff. 8 halls, like nicely organized, but a lot. But yeah, there was definitely, you know, a lot of things that were like, that's cool, that's neat. Not necessarily classroom things, but things that I'm like, ooh, that'd be really nice in our new student center or in the one performance space that is going to be opening up in a little while. But yeah, I could see how not even being there, just seeing the massive amounts of like content that was coming out of there could be a bit much.
I haven't seen anything that has jumped out at me, but I've also saved a lot of things to go back and look at that just haven't had time yet due to projects going on here.
One of the things that seemed to be popular was like immersive experiences. So the use of either like enclosed areas that were just all LED, essentially, so that you step into this box somewhat and you're contained in this environment. Cool. Would really have such minimal use, in higher ed, unless it was for like film or like essentially like movie making, like that sort of thing, maybe. But I was trying to keep an open mind and be like, let's see beyond the initial and to what all the possibilities could be. And it was a lot.
So that's interesting, because this sort of brings up another point. So when you go to, you know, a trade show like this, do you go in with like a preconceived notion of specifically what you're looking for? And also, do you, you know, is it useful that some of these manufacturers will, for all intents and purposes, spam you and when you register for the conference to see what's out there to sort of, you know, sort of screen out what you see in it? So, Aaron, I know that they said the show was the largest they've ever seen. So just to be there must have been incredible. But was there something that you were specifically looking for, or were you just, okay, I'm going to go from Hall 1 to Hall 9 and check everything out?
I was pretty much, I wanted to kind of just take a quick look-see through a lot of the at least the major halls that I knew would have things of interest. But yeah, a lot, I kind of initially was like, this is what I'm going to do. And then totally abandoned my plan. Essentially, kind of once I saw it all, I was like, yeah, I don't really want to take up my time going to my usual the equipment that I usually use, purely because I hadn't heard much in the way of like, there's this new thing that you've got to see. So I was like kind of cruised by, but you know, it was like, you know what, I'll catch up with my rep when I'm home and catch those things then. I wanted to try to see if there were things that I just wouldn't have thought of on my own. And so I made sure that I checked out lighting and staging way more than I normally would have, since, you know, we're trying to put more, you know, more production value into our event, you know, event team. And so that was one part that I specifically was like, must see. But other than that, it was kind of like weaving my way through to try to see, you know, if there's something out there that I just hadn't really thought of. And there are certainly a few things. They're kind of like a classroom in a box, almost. Like a, could be used as a crash cart, could be used as like a pop-up event setup, so that I'm not bringing speakers, projector stand, like presentation stuff, like having cables all over. Like it was all kind of contained into one nice rollable box and short throw projector in it. So it was like, yeah, I didn't know I needed that. Absolutely need one of those.
Dang, they stole my idea. I was building those bespoke for some of our classrooms.
Right? See, like it's so there were some, yeah, neat things that I was like, oh, all right. Well, lots of, you know, groups or manufacturers doing UCC things. And I was like, oh, okay. You guys too? It's kind of like, I think that's...
Hasn't that been everybody?
Right. It's the new video bar. Like, everybody came out with a video bar. Now everybody's coming out with a UCC platform. Or you know, something that works with Zoom and Teams and whatnot. So,
yeah. So I'm going to sort of take this not really down a different road, but one of the great things about trade shows, of course, as we all know, is networking and seeing your peers. And so in an interesting way, it's sort of, you got to utilize that divide and conquer. So I very much rely on people that I see, they'll mention, oh, Rob, did you see this booth? And did you see this manufacturer and what they have? And so when you sort of have that group and you sort of network, it sort of helps guide some things or guide your direction into seeing things, the classroom in a box or the special immersive, you know, display or something like that. So I always enjoy that part of it as well. It's like, yeah, I didn't check that. I'll check that out tomorrow or whatever. So that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
I think that was something that definitely helps a lot. Like I made sure that, I made sure that I reached out to some of the like AV Brits that were there that I knew that when I run into them, I was like, hey, what have you saw? Like what's important? What should I hit? Because their perspective might be slightly different than the group that I was with from the States. So it was like, it was neat to try to get like those varying perspectives.
I could just hop in with a couple of things here that I just saw. First of all, there, you know, my shtick, a lot of it's about accessibility. So whenever I'm at these shows, I'm looking for things that are either going to improve accessibility or that can be packed together to improve accessibility. And so as I just go through things, there's always these little things that pop up and start little things in my brain running. But there were a couple of things, one of which was mentioned in the Rave article, which was that the new thing from Listen and Amptronic, the Auri, which one of the things that's been driving me up the bloody wall for the longest time has been, we have the ability to do Wi-Fi assistive listening, but universities do not want to do it because it requires opening up a network. And they're so paranoid that they just will not do it and for good reason, don't get me wrong. But now with these systems that have supposedly unlimited number of Bluetooth devices that can be connected to it, and now you no longer have to request receiver. You don't have to be singled out because everybody is wearing, you know, AirPods or Pixel Buds or whatever nowadays. So now you reduce that stigma of having to be the kid in class who has to request that. That's something that and of course, even hearing aids, that's something that we ran into a lot where, you know, these new Bluetooth hearing aids, but you have to have the specific transmitter. And if you don't have it, it's a problem. And so we were renting those because there are several different models on the market. And we never knew which one we were going to encounter each semester. So having that ability really does open up our spaces accessibility wise and make it so that our students are no longer facing that stigma. Another one, again, from that same hearing accessibility space was, this is actually a new company out of Israel, Nuance Hearing. And they debuted their product at ISE, which is a little hockey puck with a beamforming mic in it. And it's not so much designed necessarily for hearing assist. It's designed for people who, for example, have ADHD. And so all the extraneous noise around them in a classroom, you all know what the noise in a classroom is like, is distracting them. So it picks up the dominant speaker in the room and filters out everything else, but just by playing it back through headphones again. And it just sits on the desk and the student can carry it from classroom to classroom. It doesn't require installation. And unfortunately right now it only is a one-to-one. You can't have, there's no broadcast to it or anything else. But, when this sort of thing does start to become more common, I think, first of all, again, it just looks like some random little electronic device that you have with you. It doesn't look like an assistive technology. And it's something that I think will be one of those things that I think we're going to see more and more of, as long as we can get past instructors looking at a student with headphones in and thinking they're not listening to them.
That is super cool.
I'll
have to check that one out too. And definitely let our accessibility team know, because I know that they tend to look for things too that they potentially can buy to hand out to students. So that they don't have to stand out nearly as much.
And the nice thing is actually the price point on that is low enough that it's even a student can buy it. It's not something that has to be an institutional purchase. I'm not going to talk about the specific price, but it's well within what, is a normal student budget.
Well, this has been another awesome episode. In case anyone wants to reach out to you, Ernie Bailey, how can they reach you?
You can find me on LinkedIn.
And how about you, Rob?
Same place, Rob Raspberry on LinkedIn.
And Scott, how about you?
LinkedIn, X, and Henri Pubs.
And thank you so much, Josh, for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you brought like a fantastic angle to it. I know that like a lot of times we don't really think about accessibility. So I'm glad that you were here to kind of bring that back to the forefront for us.
Happy to do it.
And how can people reach out to you?
They can find me on X on LinkedIn. It's all AV for Access, which is also my piece in Higher Ed AV Media as well.
Excellent. And as for me, you can catch me every month here on AV Nation's EdTech podcast, as well as on LinkedIn and on the social media platform formerly known as Twitter. So thank you so much for joining us and see you next time.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This
This
is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.